Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. Wastelanders and Vault Dwellers, welcome back to the Fallout Lorecast. I have a very special episode for you this week, right on the heels of wrapping up the Fallout TV show. It actually turns out that this works out really well because we have been discussing for like the last 2+ months a full production TV show and everything that goes into that. And we are following that up with a conversation with a filmmaker who makes short films and works on projects similar to what Amazon did with Fallout, but with a much, I would assume, much lower budget, but with equal or maybe even more passion for the Fallout universe. Welcome to the show, Sam Conde from Kill 'Em Kindly. Sam, welcome. I'm so excited to get into this with you. How are you doing?
Thank you so much. I'm really excited too. I'm just excited to talk about the project with some people who really know Fallout.
Yeah. So fan films and short films and these kinds of projects, every so often something like this pops up on YouTube and it gets a lot of buzz and a lot of people tune in and they check out things. And some of them over the years have been very impressive. And I've seen a little bit of some of the stuff that you and some people that you work with have done in other IPs, not just Fallout. And it's top tier stuff. It's very, very cool. I get the sense that you guys really know what you're doing here. Can you give me and our audience a little bit of a background about what you've worked on before and then where things are going with this Fallout project?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been diving into the world of film pretty recently. I've worked on projects like SCP Black Meridian, another short film called Vestige, and other people in the group have also worked on projects like SCP Overlord, which I think is like one of the most well-known in the SCP universe right now. Mm-hmm. And then also Stalker, Shadow of the Zone. So we've kind of been really focused on the fan service type, but also for us, a lot of the group is very interested in making action. So we kind of wanted to take two things that we're all very passionate about and smush them together and see what other people think about them. But I myself, I'm a producer, also assistant director. So I do a lot of the logistic work. Our director, Corey Haynes, director, actor, writer, jack of all trades kinds of person. And then we've got some other stellar cast and crew members who just kind of are all nerdy, which is like the fun part.
Right.
But very, very good at what they do individually.
Yeah, work is a lot easier when everybody loves the thing you're working on, you know, like mm-hmm. I've talked about this on the show many times. I've been doing this full time for 5+ years now, but it's always so much more fun. I mean, it's still work, right? Like I probably work harder at this than I do a lot of jobs that I've had in the past. But the fact that I get to work, not only interview people like you who are big fans of Fallout like I am, but also be part of the community and people on the Discord and our patrons and other creators who end up on the show every so often. It just makes the work so much more enjoyable.
Yes.
So,
and I kind of feel like you put even more effort into it when it's something you're passionate about. You want to put out the best possible product.
Right. Yeah, it's absolutely. And I think that shows through in video game development and in all sorts of art forms from film to music and all sorts of things. When you actually care about the product, you're creating something that's even more enjoyable for other people who would also enjoy it rather than just being a machine that churns out content or TV show episodes or whatever. But taking a look at some of the other projects that you and your team have worked on, it looks like you know your stuff when it comes to combat situations and things like that. And I can't wait to see what you do and put your own spin on Fallout, you know, maybe VATS and some of these other things. But before we get into some of that stuff, I really am interested in this world. Does movie even work for this?
It's a short film, but movie works.
Okay, yeah. So for your movie, because this will be fairly, like some of the other projects are like an hour long, so it's basically like a short movie. But so Kill 'Em Kindly is inspired by Fallout, but in a very specific way. In fact, you shared with me some of your world building notes about it taking place in Oklahoma, and there's a vault, and there's even a chem that's involved with it. And you've got a little bit of the background for what the world might be like in Oklahoma, since we haven't seen that specifically in any of the games or the TV show. Can you fill us in on some of those details? Because it all seems very well thought out.
Thank you, first off. I definitely thought a lot about it. But also, I think I'll start with a quick premise of the film. I can't give away too much, right? I want everybody to watch it. But
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, what's the premise? What's the hook?
Yeah, so we follow a woman who's cast out of her vault. Of course, there's just been a crazy coup, and any overseer sympathizers were cast out to the waste to live their fate out, however long it might be. Mm-hmm. We follow her as she's searching for fixes for the nuclear reactor or her brother. She's kind of like got a little bit of motive here. She's trying to see what she can do to get herself back into that vault. But as she's wandering around, we see her interact with so many different types of characters, friendly characters, just downright Western baddies, and some people a little too handsy. And we kind of see how she traverses it, but then also she gets into a bit of a pickle. Like I said, all of us are action-oriented type of creators. So we do get to see how the side effects of a vault experiment might actually just save her life.
Yeah, it sounds like you are taking a lot of inspiration from a recurring trend in the series ever since Fallout 1. Something happens in a vault that causes somebody to have to leave. That person has some sort of motivation, not just because they're in the vault and they're part of this community to try to fix the problem or to do something greater for the greater good, but they also seem to have some sort of personal motive. I mean, we see that with Lucy in the TV show. We see it with Vault 101 and Fallout 3, Vault 4, even though nobody else is alive in the vault anymore, the protagonist still has, you know, whether you're, you know, either choice, you are still motivated to escape the vault and take on the wasteland in order to find your son. So it seems like this is like follows through with that kind of that trend, right? We're seeing it through the eyes of a vault dweller. We're getting their engagement with the wasteland and their shock and surprise and horror and all of the things that come with that. And you mentioned that things, of course, are going to be a little bit surprising and difficult on the surface because it is the wasteland. Now, in your notes, you note that this is Oklahoma and the year is 2285. So that's like 4 years after the events of New Vegas. And Oklahoma, so it's, you know, Western, it's close to Vegas, it's close to Nevada, all of that. Are you taking inspiration from New Vegas specifically, cowboys and things and that sort of stuff?
Yeah, we definitely wanted to play off of things that the games have kind of already introduced, but also timing wise, I think we just wanted it to fit somewhere within everything that already exists. And Oklahoma, I feel like, is such a desolate type of area that, like, who knows what's going on there? So, why can't we just tell a story?
Right. Yeah. And so one of the things I like to do on the show a lot with our patrons is we'll speculate about future games and like what settings they'll use. And I think one of the things I've learned is, first of all, there are a lot of really fun ideas that people have, especially if you live in a place or have been in a place long enough to really know it well, to then imagine what the world would be like in the future in that place. But also, it seems like there's kind of not a bad choice. New York City is New York City, and it's very different from Oklahoma, but it's interesting if we end up ever getting a Fallout game there. So also would be Louisiana or Oklahoma. And if you know that part of the US, then you can extrapolate certain things and the way things might possibly be. Is there a specific thing that sets Oklahoma kind of apart from other locations we've been to?
Gosh, well,
I don't know how much you want to reveal about some of the details here. So I'm allowing you to kind of, I don't want to spoil anything. So share what you feel comfortable with.
Well, what I can say is, I think just like you do with your Patreons and like Just like the games have done, we saw things in the real world and we're like, okay, this like is so Fallout. Like, what could I do with this? What could happen here? And Oklahoma, I think we think space, we think just wide open spaces, but also there's a small town that we came across and it's just full of car parts. And this man, wonderful guy, he owns like half the buildings in this teeny tiny town, and they're just full of car parts, old
This
car parts,
feels
new
like
car parts.
somebody you would meet in a Fallout game who's like, "Get off my
Yes.
property," and then you look around and you're like, "Your property's half of the town." And they're like, "It is." And don't touch any of my cars. And they're
Exactly.
all like in ruins. And it doesn't matter. Like, what could you possibly do to them?
Literally, that was the vibe, and we, I think to some people that could be such a like, okay, like so what? But to us, it just immediately set the tone, and we thought like, well, do we want to stage this location? Do we want to make it more on the coast, like a place that Fallout has like kind of already seemed to focus on, or do we just let it be Oklahoma? And we just kind of did. There's actually the thing that made me think like we should just pull the trigger on this, like not even dress it up, not even try and make it somewhere else, is in Fallout 3, you can find a rejection letter and it's like the tiniest thing. It's not even like a big thing, but like the rejection letter notes that you could try applying for a vault in like a less populated area or a less competitive area like New Annex, Canada or Oklahoma. And when I saw it in the letter, I was just like, we're in Oklahoma. Heck, like
That's great.
the game kind of confirms it. Like there could be vaults there. So why not?
I mean, it would be a wide open space. It would also be the kind of place where you could put vaults with experiments that need that space or the isolation
Yes.
or plays on the population who is there, who may not be, I don't know, not maybe less involved with things. For example, if you go to LA, then you have a lot of people who are involved with those businesses and corporations and Hollywood and the advertising and all of the things that we're seeing, like the TV show play out, right? And if you go over to the East Coast, if you're in the Commonwealth or DC or any of those areas, it's got that similar kind of urban, these are the people who are involved, or at least the people pre-war were involved with, the government and these big movers and shakers. But you end up in a place like Oklahoma, and I would imagine that the people who end up in that vault would be very different. Their perspectives on the pre-war and how that information gets passed down to their children, or even just, from Vault-Tec's perspective, if you're going to set up different vaults with different experiments, then some of them are going to relate to the places the vaults are and the people you're putting in those vaults. So, is there anything specific? Like, what's the vault number for this? First of all, before I get ahead of anything, are we starting in a vault, or is this too much to reveal? Is this somebody who came from a vault, and we're only hearing about that in like dialogue about the past?
So unfortunately, we're just gonna receive exposition about the vaults. We're never gonna actually see it.
Yeah, it would be a lot of
Ooh, I'm
production to
sorry.
build like an actual vault set, right? Like, I would imagine that that would be very daunting for a small team to do. Very expensive.
Yes. Before I answer your question, can you hear the beep of the tow truck or are you
No,
okay?
that's it seems fine. It's
Okay,
not coming through on
killer.
my side.
Okay, great. Well, then I'll keep going. Yes, exactly. Building a set like that is instrumental. It's huge. It's such a big thing. It's a big production and unfortunately was just kind of like out of our budget. So we do take place outside of the vault. The vault that we're working with is numbered 151. And I'll say, I know that we go over the 122, I think it is, that we've expected our built.
Yeah, it's one of those things that's, I don't know, on the edges of the lore. I've discussed this a few times. It seems like there was originally a specific, like, maximum number of vaults from the original teams that were working on it. And then Bethesda took over, and that number seems to have expanded and changed slightly here and there. But then there's also other sources that are not canon, games that didn't get released or content that was put out by somebody who kind of speculates other things. So I don't remember all the details, but it also makes sense from your perspective to pick a number that isn't going to be replicated somewhere else anytime soon. So I totally get that.
We wanted a fun number. We wanted a clean number, and it seemed to work. Also, we're not too far off, so I feel like we can kind of just fit it in there.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. It's a fan film. Sure.
But yeah, so we do learn about Vault 151. There's actually a lot I can share about the Vault, especially because we don't focus on it in the film too particularly. And we do provide a lot of exposition about it.
But, it's a lot of background, so you're not really spoiling anything. Yeah.
Exactly. The Vault is really posed to be this opportunity for maintaining a military presence after the war is over. So how it's sold to the citizens of Oklahoma, who could be very patriotic, very hands-on. They're working in factories, they're working on farms.
Yeah, salt of the earth, probably very conservative, very pro-American, like that type of demographic, right?
Exactly. How it's sold to them is if you partake in this vault, you're essentially enlisting into the armed forces, and we will sort you based off of your proficiencies. But at the end, when we're all out of this vault, we will all be members of the armed forces. We will be the military presence moving forward.
Interesting.
Or a piece of it. And that's how it's sold to anybody who's about to enter, and then also the vault inhabitants moving forward. Like, that's the ideology of pretty much 200 or so years that they're all in there. What it turns out to be is actually a compliance experiment. So something that we've kind of created in the world is a substance called Syntherivy.
A brand new chem to unleash out into the wasteland.
It's a mixture of pre-war chems, Day Tripper, and Comex. And we essentially created or theorized that this Syntherivy was not just started to be used in the vault, but actually had been used across Oklahoma in different factories and farmlands. It's a daily supplement, and its intention is to keep its people chill.
Yeah, placated, like happy workers, that sort of thing, where like a corporation would want to make sure that their employees do what they say, and they don't argue, and they don't push for raises too often, or call in sick, or any of that stuff. They just do what they're supposed to do. That's kind of what that feels like to me. Is that the general vibe?
That's exactly what it is, especially when we consider like the political climate of the pre-war era. People are stressed. People are overwhelmed. Why am I working in a factory when I don't know if the world's going to end tomorrow? Mm-hmm. And so the intention of the experiment, even pre-war, was to just continue to have people working and keeping them compliant, so that when something like this did appear in front of them, of course I'll sign up for the vault. I love my country. I want to serve my country. I always have been. And now is an opportunity for every generation after me to do exactly that.
Yeah, it sounds like you're really delving into the propaganda aspect of a lot of these vaults, a lot of the messaging from the government, a lot of that stuff, which they're diving more into in the TV series. And we're seeing that kind of play out in the show. So this matches that really well.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Actually, every episode of the series that I watch makes me more proud of this project, because they feel like they could exist really in the same universe.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's that makes sense for when you're doing something that resonates with the core. Like, there's a lot of debate online about, they changed the New Vegas ending or whatever, all of that stuff. And I'm not as interested in, did they change my expectations based on the way New Vegas played out in my playthrough or any potential playthrough? I'm more interested in when somebody takes content and, from a video game and moves it into a movie or a TV show, or a book into a TV show, or a TV show into a book or into a game. every type of content has its own limitation and its own requirements, right? One of the big debates recently is about the death claw, right? Like, okay, is the death claw that we've seen, or maybe both death claws that we've seen, are they hard of seeing? Do they not see very well? Is this something they had to change for the show? And if you think about it, in a video game, when you come across a death claw, you either get killed and you reload your save, or you find a way to deal with it. You maybe, like, you know, you cheese it up against some geometry and shoot it in the head 100 times and it dies because you don't have good enough weapons yet. Or you're at the point in the game where you can just kind of take them out. But in a TV show with real human beings, they're not going to be jumping on the geometry trying to cheese the death claw. So
wouldn't that be fun?
That would be ridiculous. Like, oh, the ghoul's all of a sudden really good at jumping, like his entire body height. Like, that would be like, what? No, that doesn't work that way, because it looks like real people. It's real people. But it's, my point is that it's the spirit of it that matters more than sometimes when you have to adjust details to make it fit the environment that you're putting your product out for, if that makes sense. And in doing so, having something that matches that spirit means that it's going to line up with anything else that matches that spirit, right? Like, so if you're talking about, and it seems like that's what you're building here, is a situation 200 years after the bombs drop with vault dwellers who were sold one thing and got something completely different, having to leave the vault, deal with the ramifications of that, go into the wasteland, deal with other things, chems and the results of those chems, anything else that these people have to come across, and that resonates. Like, you're taking the core, I don't know, the soul, maybe that's the best way to say it, the soul of Fallout is very specific things, and you can replicate that and expand that in many different directions, but if you start with that core, it's always going to feel like it's accurate, like it fits. Does that make sense? I know I just said a whole bunch of words, but is that how you guys feel about this?
No, I think that was exactly it. Even when people watch the film, they watch the trailer that will come out with any teaser materials, you'll even notice, like, the vault suit or the apparel of 151 is not the same as, like, the traditional vault suit. And I think that was something that we recognized, or there was a lot of things actually that we recognized, that we're not going to be able to 100% nail this into what already exists, but what we can do is build a story that really resonates with, like, these core themes, the core themes of propaganda, of war, of industrialism, of capitalism. We can really, even like the conformity of the vaults, we can lean into the themes as much as possible, and I think that's really what we tried to do here.
Yeah, it's an interesting perspective to talk about the military, in which conformity is usually a very good thing. You want your soldiers to conform. They should be upholding the highest standards. They should be trained to absolutely appropriate levels for the dire, difficult jobs that they have. And they should be respected for all of that, because the job of the military is to keep the people of your country safe. And so that's a very respectable thing. But when you turn it and you manipulate it with propaganda, and for reasons that distort that goal, all of a sudden, being conformist becomes a problem, because you're being lied to about why you're doing it. And then on top of that, you put in a, you know, Synthera V, this chem that's forcing people against their own will to be even more conformist than they would otherwise choose for themselves. And now you're hitting multiple levels of deception and manipulation of people who have good intentions. And that feels extremely Fallout, because that's basically what the United States is doing to everyone in the country before the bombs drop, like, nationwide. And here you have it happening very specifically in one vault. So I think you guys are nailing it when it comes to that side. About the vault suit, is it more militaristic looking because of the setting for 151?
Yeah, it's a very militaristic looking. They wear combat pants. We do see, like, the traditional tank top, but then also the jacket is meant to be removable, not just like a tie down at the waist type of thing.
Like a onesie, like a lot of them are on just like these onesie outfits. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, we wanted it to be for a couple reasons, but the biggest thing was, like, the weather changes out there, and your mission, your job, your intention is to be adaptable, it's to be aware, it's to be present, it's to be able to make a decision in a moment's notice. And so we even see the character is like her standard issue pistol gear is a drop leg holster. So it's all very militaristic.
Interesting. Yeah.
But we do still keep the blue and gold. We liked the color.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. I mean, that fits. It's a vault, right? But yeah, mm-hmm. but you have to kind of update it for the purpose of this vault. Will we be seeing some, this seems like the answer is probably obviously yes, but I'm sure you guys are setting up some really cool, like intense combat moments and things like that. Can you share anything about any of the action scenes you have set?
Yeah, there's a little bit of hand to hand, and then there's a lot of gunplay. We definitely wanted to find a way to integrate VATS, integrate this idea of like a perk. So there's a lot of play there when it comes to the action. It is a short film, though. So.
Sure. Yeah, you can't. It can all just be action. You have to actually tell a story.
Exactly.
Sure.
But our intention, you know, we want the film to do well, and if it does do well, we want to tell longer, more fun stories. So the action will just keep getting better and better. But yeah, certainly, I train combat sports. I train Muay Thai, and a couple other people in the cast also train hand to hand combat. So. And then a lot of us, a majority of us are like we train shooting. We love shooting just to be proficient and to be as like prepared as we can be. So it was a lot of fun to be able to integrate some gunplay, some hand to hand. The lead character, she wins some, she loses some. Like,
yeah.
It's not always a uphill or like a downhill type of battle. Like we see her really struggle through something. So I think it's going to be pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, that makes it more realistic, you know, when the hero of the story, the protagonist, isn't invincible, like that they, you know, they can dish it out, but they take it too. I mean, just like in a real fight, you know, if you've done, like you've said, if you've done any actual hand-to-hand training and you've sparred, you don't win. Like
no.
You might win, you might lose. It depends who you're up against, and some days you're just better than they are, and some days they're better than you, and it can go either way. That's why training is so important. But I have a feeling we're going to see some really cool action moments, especially coming from people who really know this stuff. I know for sure one of the things that happens on my show, if I bring up any of the weaponry, especially ballistics with bullets and things like that, there's always somebody who chimes in and is like, well, here's some more information you may not have known about, you know, 0.45, you know, ammo or whatever. And I think gunplay is cool. You know, I like it in movies and games and that kind of thing, but I'm not a like expert by any means on, you know, myself. I have gone shooting before, but I'm not the kind of person who can tell you like, oh, this gun has this type of ammo and it has this many rounds and all of that. But I know that there is a contingency of people who are big Fallout fans who are big on being up with that kind of stuff. And even in things like on a TV show or a movie, when this is one thing I notice is when they just don't ever seem to reload. It's like,
oh gosh,
bullets are not infinite. That's not how that works. And you also just
That's
can't
one of
all
my biggest pet peeves.
Right. And you also just don't all stand in the open and shoot at each other and hope you don't get hit. That's not how this works, you know? Like, so I have a feeling you guys are probably doing stuff that feels a little bit more, I mean, it's fantasy, but it probably feels grounded in like, okay, now this is how ballistics actually work.
Yeah, definitely. We have some very fun, practical, very fun VFX that kind of just show off, I think, what we all think we're capable of film-wise here.
That's great. That's great. So, okay. So it's a story about a woman who goes out into the wasteland and she's dealing with a probably understanding what's going on in the world, how this is different than maybe what she was taught in the vault. But the vault training is still helpful. Is she, I don't know how far we want to get into the storyline here, but are there any other things going on with this character and the kind of the character arc that we should be aware of?
Yeah. I mean, what I will say is she's been taking Synthera-V, so
okay.
She's been taking it all her life. So even though she's curious, just like anybody would be, right? She's taking in everything as it is. People are looking at her funny, and she's got to navigate that as well. There are definitely some things that she already knows, right? Like almost everything is up for trade, if not for sale. And they're, to her, like, we don't touch anybody without their permission first. Like, there are definitely some like vault living baseline rules that she is exuding as she comes out of the vault. But,
And I would imagine everybody else being on Synthera V and under the same social conditions are probably, especially because they are chemically induced, but they probably
yeah.
all just follow the rules. They do what they're supposed to do. There's probably very little actual interpersonal conflict because everyone just does what they're supposed to do all the time. And the Wasteland is completely the opposite of that, where, you know, like the Raiders
Exactly.
don't grow up with like moral lessons and rules. Like, what is the point of that? So that's got to be a huge shock to her.
Yeah, it certainly will be. Of course, there's always a couple people out there who seem to have a good heart, and I think we'll find some of those people, but certainly we're gonna run into a couple people who just see what they like and they want to take it, and that's that. But Synthera V has a really funny way of taking over every once in a while, and we will certainly see, I think, how the side effects will influence her. I don't want to give too much away, but also
Only as much as you're willing to give. So here's a fun question that probably won't give away too much about anybody specific, but
Sure.
are there characters, or you were talking about finding a letter in Fallout 3, are there characters or quest lines that kind of play into the inspiration for some of the characters we're going to meet or some of the situations they'll be in? I just got my new shipment in from Quince and I am so excited. I finally have a jacket that makes me feel like a college professor. And I know that sounds kind of funny, but you know what I'm talking about. I've been really into corduroy lately, and this is the warmest, softest, and fashionable jacket. It looks so good. I can pair it with jeans or nicer pants. I can wear it out because it's cold out or just because I want to look nice. And Quince makes products that last even over multiple wearings. They've become my go-to place to look first for new clothing. They have premium fabrics. They cut out the middleman by working directly with top factories. The value for the quality is just crazy. I mean, they have between a 4.5 and 5-star rating by thousands of people who wear their clothes every day. So go check them out. And also keep in mind that you can get free shipping and 365-day returns with my code. So go right now, go to quince.com/falloutlore, all one word, for free shipping and 365-day returns. That's a full year to build your wardrobe and to love it. And you will. Now available in Canada too. Don't keep settling for clothes that don't last. Go to quince.com/falloutlore for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/falloutlore. There's a world of opportunity out there beyond the typical 9-to-5, where purpose and grit come together, where American spirit and ingenuity are welcomed in places that could really use your skills and your experience. We're talking about the Peace Corps, with volunteers living and working in communities around the globe. It's been called the toughest job you'll ever love. Tough because it asks so much of you to dig deeper, get your hands dirty, to go that extra mile, to rise to the occasion and meet challenges head on. And the love part comes from being part of something bigger than yourself, from building bonds that last a lifetime. It's knowing your hard work transforms lives, including your own. After 65 years, the Peace Corps is still the toughest job you'll ever love. Explore opportunities in more than 60 countries. Learn about the benefits and apply at peacecorps.gov/serve.
So what I can say about Synthera V and her character, we talked a little, just a hair, about perks earlier, and one of the biggest inspirations, I think, were these very niche and specific perks that I've found in my gameplays, and I feel like this one isn't that niche or specific, but Nerd Rage is like a very interesting and fun one to me because you can build your character to be insanely bright, but when it comes down to it, if they really need the help, something might, awaken in them and kind of like help them. So, stuff like that, I think, has been really pivotal to the development of the story. Of course, like the Lucy character, she has been Fantastic, but I think that's more personal. What I will say is that, like, I see a lot of my gameplays in the Lucy character. I definitely see this like naivety and this like curiosity, but also this general desire to just want to be good. Even when we had the good and bad scales in Fallout, like, I always wanted my character to be good karma, like, just as good karma as I could get them.
No, I think that one of the stats I've seen about video games is about 80% of players, 70-80% of players always do a good gameplay and never do an evil gameplay.
Oh,
That's like
wow.
across the board, most players, when given the option, lean into good and have a hard time doing the opposite. One of the things I did playing Fallout, played through Fallout 3 when it came out as a good character, trying to find that line of like, it is being good going to make the game easier? Probably not. But is it possible? Like, can I still be a good person in a desperate, terrible situation? And then my wife and I, at the time, I think we were dating at the time when we started playing Fallout 3, and then Fallout New Vegas came out, and she had been watching me play and helping make decisions in the game. And then she was like, okay, well, I want to play this one first. So I got to watch her play through, and she played as a good character. And then when I got to play, I started my own character, but I went absolutely as evil as possible. I was just like, I'm going to try to be evil. I'm going to see if I can do it. And it created a very different experience for me on my
Oh
first
my
New
gosh.
Vegas playthrough because, you know, you come across, I mean, basically you're acting like the Legion the whole time. And just like, oh, I get in a fight with somebody, I'll just kill them and take their stuff, you know. And,
You know what? This
oh.
is gonna be my new first date go-to
Yeah.
is watching people play Fallout. And if they play a good character or bad character is gonna determine a lot for me.
Yeah, have them help you make decisions and see what kinds of decisions they make. It'll tell you a lot about their personal morality.
Oh, I like this.
But it's an interesting challenge, especially when you're playing along with somebody else, for both of you to go against your natural inclinations. In some ways it's not as satisfying because you don't get that feeling of like, okay, well, I did the best I could, and maybe it didn't turn out great because it's Fallout, but at least I gave it a good shot. You know, kind of that Lucy mentality of like, well, at least I tried to, you know, follow the rules. But you kind of have that sense, right? But when you go evil, it's just like everything just ends up feeling kind of gross.
A little bit, yeah.
So I totally get that. So let's talk about your own experiences with Fallout. Do you have like a favorite game that you go back to regularly? Is there, you know, what's your perspective on the series?
Gosh, I know it's a bit controversial, but Fallout 3 might be my favorite one.
Interesting.
It's probably because it's where I started. If anything, it's probably more nostalgic to me, but also like Liam Neeson's your dad. So kind of like there's a lot of cool points in there, I think. But yeah, it's definitely where I started. So I think it's just been one of the more enjoyable games for me. But also New Vegas is just like there's something about being able to gamble in some naughty nightwear that like really sells me too. It's definitely they both have their ups and downs,
Yeah, they both
but
have their
both,
own interesting settings for different reasons, but New Vegas has a lot more color. I mean, not color visually, everything's still kind of orange and yellow, but like, yeah, like the naughty nightmare and being able to gamble or getting kicked out of a casino because you won too much money, you know, like little details like that really make it feel real.
Yeah, and I also used to live in California for quite some time, so it was cool to be able to like actually drive and see some of these landmarks that were so influential in the game. I think it's also why like I didn't feel so weird or bad about just like placing our film in Oklahoma and placing it off of something I saw, because when I went to go see these like the Cabazon Dinosaurs or Buffalo Bills, like I was like, oh no, these things actually just exist. And we can just tell a story around them and it can still be fun.
I'm really glad that we have, well, in Fallout 1 and 2, you've got like the West Coast, but an expanded region. They're very large. And then in New Vegas, a return to a very, I guess, country kind of Western kind of feel, which is in direct contrast, like I mentioned before, to the big city urban kind of thing that we see in some of the other games. But all of that comes together to create a much more well-rounded view of the United States as a whole. Because if all of the games were just set in DC or LA, that would feel silly because we're not getting that full perspective. So I guess the same thing would apply for making a film. If you had just every film in the Commonwealth, then it's like, yeah, okay, we've got like the origins of the country, the Revolutionary War, the history of democracy and all of that stuff. That totally is very American. But Oklahoma is as American as you can get, also just for very different reasons. And right. I think that there's a large percentage of people who absolutely, if they had their choice, would always set Fallout in a much more kind of Western or rural setting, because to them, that's what Fallout feels like.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think the storyline kind of really flows through the state. It makes sense when we talk about like the people that existed pre-war and what their ideology may be, what kinds of things they may tell their children if they were in a vault. And I think the story especially is made up of the whole country and some. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of people that talk about wanting to do like a Fallout in London and learning mm-hmm. more about that. And I think like, of course, like a global picture would be fantastic, but even being able to dive into something that like, and if I did a fan film in a place that already existed, like I have to nail everything to a T,
right,
you know, everybody's going to compare it to what already exists. And I think that doing something like this certainly gives us a little bit of room to play and create something instead of just reproduce something that's already been said.
Yeah, I think that's well said. It gives you a little bit more creative freedom while still maintaining that core spirit of what Fallout is. And I think that's part of the fun of it, is being able to say, okay, I understand the core spirit in this location, that might become this. And that's kind of an unending well of inspiration and creativity, because you can always kind of take that template and put it on something else. Again, talking about some of the patrons and discussions about this and jokes, I live in Florida, and jokes about like, what would a Fallout Florida be like? And it was like, oh man, Florida man, every Raider's Florida man, you know, yes. Every alligator is like a gigantic abomination of some sort.
Oh my gosh.
You know, like there's so much there, but there's so much everywhere, right? Like, okay. So are there any other, I don't know, little secrets or little bits about Oklahoma that come into inspiration in this that we should be looking for? I mean, what about creatures or, I don't know, just some of the raider groups? Or, I mean, is the Brotherhood involved? Like, I know you can only give away so much, but is there anything else?
I will say we started a bit small. We didn't want to be too ambitious. We didn't want to tackle anything that we didn't think we could within the like short production timeline that we had. It plays into Western tropes a lot. We'll see a lot of religious people, Western people. I think that as we explore, what I can say is as we're able to move out of teeny tiny town, Oklahoma, and maybe into OKC or something more populated.
Yeah.
That's where I think we can see more. But to start us off, we are in the middle of nowhere, middle of nowhere.
The wasteland of the wasteland.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Nice. Nice. Okay. So, we're getting close to the end of the interview here, and I don't want to push you for too many things, but imagining that this takes off, this does really well. You talked about maybe doing more Fallout projects. Do you see this being the beginning of a story that continues? Will we see the protagonist again in a future story, or is it more fun to just take on a totally new environment with new characters and build that from scratch?
You know, everything's very open right now. I think that we're also very interested to see how it's absorbed amongst the public and what they think. But also, we've talked about expanding the storyline of the main character that we have now. We also say that she's searching for her brother. So we've talked about creating a story where maybe we just see the brother after he's cast out of the vault.
Yeah, you get his side of the story and all of that. Yeah.
Exactly. And do they ever meet up? Like, what happens? I think in almost like in a Stranger Things fashion, or even like the Fallout series, like, you know, we'll follow two separate stories that seem to run a bit parallel and then see how they come together. We've also talked about following some of the bad guys and just kind of like understanding their story. I mentioned a religious character, and he seems to have a bit of a troubled past turns, like I found God type of
Right. I put
story
away my
arc.
sin and I've decided to be a better person, and it's working out sort of like one of the
Exactly.
storylines.
Yeah, I think we're very excited to go in any direction, but we're all very creative, and even just after filming, I think we're kind of like, okay, what's next? What's next? What's next?
It's very exciting, and I love the creativity that goes into these kinds of things, and the ability to, like you said, to pick a character and then explore that character, and then pick a different character and explore that character. And you mentioned having a religious character show up. There is religion in Fallout. You know, there are people who worship
Yes.
different things, and there are remnants of real world religions that you see every so often. But it's not something that has played a major role in any of the games. I mean, you could say, you know, there are groups that play major roles, but having a protagonist or a villain who is particularly religiously motivated. I mean, you could argue the Brotherhood, especially in the TV show, seems more religiously motivated. So you've got a little bit of that. But what I'm imagining is something a little bit more, I don't know, typical to our world. As I speak about this, more and more characters pop up in my head. Maybe I should do a whole episode about
Yeah.
religiously motivated
I
characters in Fallout games. But
love it.
having, you know, like I would imagine, like here's a perspective that doesn't get come up very often. Oftentimes in dialogue in Fallout games, you don't have some sort of religiously motivated reason for doing things. That doesn't come
Ooh.
up like from a character player standpoint. You can go along with a specific group and you could pretend to be part of them or disagree with them or whatever. But that would be an interesting take on it, especially with how much religion plays a big role in American life for so many people, to incorporate that in. But of course, it becomes a dangerous thing to do because people don't like it if you
Yeah.
misrepresent their beliefs. But it is fantasy, and this individual might have maybe not perfect understanding of those beliefs, especially 200 years in the future, having to live in the wasteland. I don't know. This is just kind of a word salad at this point, but that seems like an interesting, unique perspective that could be better expanded on, I think, is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah. I think so. I think that there's definitely plenty of tropes that are very futuristic and rely in like the Fallout universe as we know it, post-apocalyptic 200 so years in the future. But there's also plenty of like present day tropes that I think will resonate with people. And even if, and we see it in the series now too. I think that we don't have to shy away from those. People will really get it and it will still land.
And I think one of the things that you see a lot in film over recent years is turning things on their head, right? You take the character who's supposed to be this beacon of morality and believes in God or whatever their faith is for what appears to be good reasons, and then all of a sudden they're sinister and they're the bad guy in the horror movie or something like that. But to then take that and twist it back and go, no, people misunderstood, they're actually a good person, would be like an even more interesting, I don't know,
Yes.
flip. Because one of the things about film is that it's always in conversation, and every piece of art is always in conversation with the art that came before it. So you constantly have to be kind of innovating and playing with that. So it would be interesting. I don't know, just kind of spitballing some ideas here. But here, why don't we're getting to the end of this. Are there ways that people can, I don't know, be a little bit involved with this or keep track of what you have going on? Or are there things that you want to share out into the public about this project that you guys are working on?
Yeah, absolutely. So we do have a webpage for our crowdfunding and updates. So even if you're not donating, that's totally okay. Just visit the webpage because there's a lot of information on there that we've already released about the story and about the progress. It's www.killemkindly.info.
Kill
No
M E M,
apostrophe.
kill E M kindly, right?
Yes. Yes, kill M
Kill M,
kindly.
kill him kindly.
Kill him kindly.
Kill him
Yep.
kindly.
Just like that.
Shucky dang
And
darn.
there we're sharing Every update, once it goes live online too, it'll also be on the web page for free consumption. Everybody is welcome to check it out. But also, we are still crowdfunding, and I think we will still be when this airs. Because even though we've already filmed, I'd say by this point we've filmed 90% of what we need, 95% of what we need probably. We still have fun things like sound design, the music scoring, and visual effects. And everybody on the team has been doing a fantastic job with the resources that we already have. But also, my job as executive producer is to nag you guys for your
Well,
help.
yeah, you want it to be as good as you possibly can, and it takes money to do
Absolutely.
that, right? Like, talent can only go so far if they don't have the tools to make the things that you're trying to make.
I'd say, but like I said, and like I will always say, it's not just about the donations. It's really about us getting eyes on the web page. So please, even if you don't intend to donate, just check it out. Just see what we're doing. Learn more about us. There's bios on the actors, and we've got some information about the director, the assistant director, a fantastic crew that came out with pretty much all of the equipment that we needed for free. So,
Wow.
please, if you guys are just, even if you're just interested in film and you want to see what group of goofy people is putting this together, we're all up there.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, it sounds like such a fun project to be a part of, and I'm a little jealous. A little jealous. I actually told my son the other day, I was like, if I grown up a little bit younger and had just like a slightly different path going into something like filmmaking or video effects or something like that would have been really kind of a fun thing to get into. But I'm
It's
already
fun.
so established in what I'm doing now, it would be hard to kind of switch outside of just
Gosh,
like
well,
a
I
hobbyist.
do kind of already imagine a role for, I mean, every good Fallout has a radio
That's
broadcaster,
true.
so
That's true.
I'm kind of thinking maybe we can make something work.
All right. Well, let me know. Let me know on future projects if you need like a radio guy. I can do some
Heck
funny voices too. So I don't know if that's helpful. But
Okay.
yeah, like I'm gonna kill him kindly, shuck a ding darn. I like the old prospect. I call that my old prospector voice. This is probably way more than
Yes.
anybody listening to this wants. But he's a guy that kind of talks like this, and he says shuck a ding darn because he's a
Oh my
polite
gosh.
guy.
On point. I love it.
He's the old prospector. Yeah, so okay, so anything else? Final thoughts, final words, anything else you want people to know before we wrap up?
I don't know. Just thank you, I guess, for listening to me nerd out.
Yeah,
I never get to talk about this stuff like in such depth. So this was really, really very fun, and I hope
awesome.
people enjoy learning about 151 and the world we've created.
And kill him kindly. There you go. That's awesome. Well, thanks so much. Don't be a stranger. And especially when you guys are like, I'm sure this is going to go great based on your track record. Everything else looks awesome. And when you guys are spinning up your next project, definitely reach out and we'll try to let people know about that as well, because the world couldn't have enough awesome Fallout content by people who absolutely love it. So it's good all the way around. Let's just say that.
Agreed. I
Well,
love that. Thank you so much.
Sam, thank you for being here, and I'll be right back after the break in order to thank our patrons and all of that, so don't go anywhere. So there you go. Now that the Fallout TV show is over, you still have other things you can watch, and you can keep up with Kill 'Em Kindly by going to killemkindly.info for more information. I'll put the link in the description. And thank you to all of the patrons who have been supporting this show, and welcome to our newest patrons, White Broccoli, Kai, and Adam G. Thanks so much for your support. I hope you're enjoying your ad-free episodes or all the other things you can get as well. And got to shout out our sentry bots, Germinator, the Main Monkey, and Era M. Thank you so much for your support as well. Come join us on patreon.com/falloutlorecast, and I will see you next week. We're delving back into other lore stuff that we haven't talked about in a few months because of the TV show and these cool new projects for movies and things coming out. So get ready for that. Have a wonderful week. Stay safe in the wasteland. And well, until then, kill them kindly. See you next time. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people, on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.
Butts Radio. Games, lore, stories, community. Just press play.